Welcome back to Book Club. It's great to see you again. Today we're in day 10, and today's chapter is all about friendships. And man, this is one that I have seen many times in my experience of walking with different people as they're starting this Christian faith, this Christian life, this Christian walk. This is a common thing here. So excited to talk through a little bit of this. And so, you know, friends are a great blessing. Friends can also be quite the obstacle in the Christian life. And so this is something I think a lot of people don't like to recognize or admit, is just how much their friends impact them. And I think the main theme here of what he's talking about is getting the patient. Demons trying to get us to recognize or to believe, not to recognize because it's a falsehood, but to believe that we can survive the environment, right? The toxic, the negative environment that we put ourselves in when we start to hang out with people we shouldn't be around, start to hang out with people who don't share our values, start to hang around people who deny basic truths that are easily proven just through natural reason. When we start to do that, we start to see how we start to experience everything the demons want us to experience, right? This level of pride really impacts us. It really makes a difference in our lives. And we start to subtly and slowly start to descend down the hill. We start to leave the path we've gotten on with Christ. We start to go the way of the world. And I just think this is something that is so common. It's so sad how much people believe that we can just be around people who just believe everything the opposite of us. There's something to the reality that Jesus spent time with sinners, right? Jesus spent time with the prostitutes and the tax collectors and all those things that we often hear. All of that is true. But we also have to recognize that he had a core 12, 11 of whom became saints, right? I often try to point that out to people, that a lot of people try to make their 12 apostles the prostitutes and tax collectors. And Jesus did welcome in tax collectors. Obviously, we know this with the apostle Matthew, but he called him to repentance first. He called him to change his way of life, to pick up his cross and follow him. And Matthew would go on to become a martyr and a saint. He didn't just keep around tax collectors and prostitutes who were going to continue on sinning. They didn't continue cheating their fellow Israelites out of their money. They didn't continue being prostitutes and just like hang around with Jesus. This is not how it worked. And so I think this is a big challenge in today's Christianity, where we have this mindset that, oh, because Christ Jesus, you know, dined with sinners, we can spend 50% of our time or 90% of our time or 100% of our social time with people who live godless lives. And I think we see this here. You know, there are certain aspects of this. When you read this, you can tell he was like a 20th century British guy, right? I think that's undoubtedly something that kind of comes through in my mind, is you can just like some of the pretentiousness and stuff. We still have aspects of that, but I think in America, it plays out differently in the 21st century in the US. We were never, you know, this isn't like an anti-UK thing, but they're just more proper. And I think being more proper leans itself towards being a little bit more pompous and, just the way he describes these friends. But in our lives, we know what this is, right? It's the friend that continues to sleep around, the friend that's living with their significant other, the friend that just doesn't believe in God and makes that known and tries to convince others to not believe in God. It's the female friend that just gossips, gets too drunk every weekend, whatever, you name it, right? You know your friends and the people in your life that are not living Christian lives. And it's okay. We don't have to damn them to hell. We don't have to condemn them. I always say that it's good to continue to be friends with people who are far away from God and try to bring them back to God. But we have to make sure that we're bringing them back to God. They're not bringing us away from God. And you can very objectively measure that. You can very objectively tell whether or not you're having a more positive impact on someone or they're having a more negative impact on you. And so we have to be willing to be realistic about that and really evaluate what's happening. And you can tell that by the fruit. If you've been friends with somebody for many years and they're not any closer to going to church or any closer to God, but you find every time you're around them or you spend time with them, you're prone to spend more time with them and you're prone to overindulge or lead some type of sinful life, then you're not, you know, discipling them. You're not bringing them closer to God. They might just be bringing you down. And so there's times to cut people off. Now, I love this in the second page here. He says, no doubt he must very soon realize that his own faith is in direct opposition to the assumptions on which all the conversation of his new friends is based. I don't think that matters much, provided that you persuade him to postpone any open acknowledgement of the fact. And with the aid of shame, pride, modesty, and vanity, it will be easy to do just that. And so this is where you start to see kind of what we're talking about here, right? Pretty soon you realize, and most of us have realized this at times with our friends who fall into these categories, right? That, yeah, you know, the things I'm doing with these people, the lifestyle they live, it's not very conducive to the Christian life. It's not actually what I believe, right? And so when you have this, you start to say, okay, this isn't great, you know? This isn't a great thing that I'm kind of surrounding myself with. And he's like, just try to get them to avoid that. But he points out this fact that all mortals tend to turn into the thing they are pretending to be. And so if you're pretending to, you're going along with this, and he especially talks about how you can convince the patient to go along with this by, you know, just kind of like the silence is consent kind of thing, right? Of like, your silence towards people speaking falsehood, to speaking people speaking untrue things, can actually be something that is, actually bringing you away from God, right? It's actually going to draw you away. And so he talks about how you can get him to be silent when he ought to speak, and speak and laugh when he ought to be silent. So laughing at jokes, right? Laughing at jokes that are inappropriate, laughing at jokes about sinning. These are ways, you know, consenting or applauding or rejoicing in the sins of other people is a form of sin ourselves. And so when we put ourselves in the near occasion of that sin by spending time with people who we know rejoice in that which is not good, is a form of sin itself. And so we have to realize that, and we have to be honest with ourselves with that. He says here towards the end, he says he can be made to take a positive pleasure in the perception that the two sides of his life are inconsistent. And so this is the other kind of point of pride he talks about, is getting him to, in some unspecified way, think that he's doing these people good by the mere fact of drinking their cocktails and laughing at their jokes. So this is exactly what I was kind of referring to at the beginning, is we get to this mindset where we actually start to think that, oh, just my mere presence. And this I think is somewhat prideful, right? Going back to Jesus dined with prostitutes and hung out with sinners and all this, is we start to believe the word Jesus. And there's one thing to the reality that, yes, through the Eucharist, through prayer, like, and you hear C.S. Lewis even talks about this, that God wants to create little Christs around the world. And as we become saints, we become little Christs. But we also have to recognize that, like, Jesus was immune. He was immune because he was perfect. He was God. So he was immune to being around negative influences. It's not going to draw him away from his mission, right? We are not. And it's one thing to be holy and to recognize that and say, okay, I'm a little bit more immune than maybe I previously was or whatever. But when you're the whole point of this is that when you're at the beginning of the journey, if you can't sit down and pray for 30 minutes, then you probably shouldn't be spending the majority of your social time with godless people. Like, let's not play ourselves here of acting like we're at some level of sainthood that we're just simply not at. You don't have to feel bad about where you're at, but we can recognize, hey, you know what? I might not be at the level where I can only have bad friends, only have friends that actually take me away from God. Even neutral friends, you might be able to say, oh, well, this person, you know, they're not a negative influence, but they're not a positive influence in my life. It's like, well, when are you going to start working to having friends that are actual positive influences in your life? And this is what good friendship is, right? The people who help you to build virtue, to be holy, to be the man or woman that God created you to be. And so let's not fool ourselves with this kind of double-minded thing of thinking that, oh, it's good that I'm hanging with people that bring me down because I'm imagining that I'm bringing them up. We have to be realistic. We have to take stock and be mindful of the people we spend our time with because we're not immune to the impacts of other people. I can't remember the verse, but St. Paul, in one of the letters to the Corinthians, I want to say, says, do not be deceived, brothers. Bad company ruins good character. I'm surprised I forget where that is. I want to say it's 2 Corinthians 12, but I think that I'm pretty positive that that's wrong. But I know that it's in there, so you can Google it. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good character. So remember that. Be careful with who you spend your time with. Pray to God for good friends and for positive influences in your life. And go out there and be your best. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.